Okay, we're going to start on page 34, 50 toward the bottom. Yeah? Is that what you said, 52?
Yeah.
Thank you. 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 lines in the top. Okay, Abraham is discussing the Beinoni. Never sinned, never will sin. Doesn't sin, not in thought, not in speech, not in action. Why isn't he a tzaddik? If he doesn't sin, he's such a great guy. Because the nefesh habamis is still there. The only time the animal soul goes to sleep is when it davens. When it prays, then the nefesh habamis, the animal soul goes to sleep. The second davening is over, nefesh habamis wakes up and right away starts feeding the evil. But he says like this: for this though, it remains the mark of davening in his mind. And the fear and love of Hashem in the heart, to overcome and win over this evil, that the evil should not control the body, to bring out his temptations for the potential to the actual, to dress itself into the body. Meaning, davening helped enough that when it comes to the practical sinning, it will not sin. In other words, it's not enough powerful to keep the Yetzer Hara sleeping. The Nefesh HaBamis after prayer wakes up in its entirety. But the prayer helped enough that it doesn't allow the evil to control the city, meaning the body, that actually sins. That what? He says, it doesn't help it that they help willingly to think that it should willingly accept this will that comes up automatically from the heart to the mind. Meaning, like we learned last time, the fact that the evil inclination is there feeds constantly to the mind evil thoughts. What the Beinoni does is the second the evil thought comes in, he immediately gets rid of it. As soon as he's aware, as he's going to explain, as soon as he's aware that it's a foreign thought, he immediately gets rid of it. And he says, "Elimiyad ba'aliyosi l'sham," the second the evil thought comes up to the mind and he's aware of it, "Decheil b'shtei yadayim," he pushes it off with both hands, and he removes his mind from it immediately. As soon as he realizes and is aware that it's a foreign evil thought. As soon as the Beinoni is aware that it's a foreign thought, he immediately gets rid of it. How do you get rid of it? By thinking a good thought, you automatically get rid of the previous thought. And he doesn't accept it willingly. Even just to think about it, not to do it. Not even to think about it. And definitely not to enter the mind to do it. Or even to speak it. That the Beinoni controls. The Beinoni does not control the fact that the evil thought comes into the mind. He has the Yetzer Hara, that's what happens. The Beinoni's control is that the second he's aware of it, he immediately gets rid of it. He doesn't think it, he won't speak it, and he definitely won't do it. And he says why? A person who willingly thinks an evil thought, Nikra Rasha Ba'esisho, is called an evil person at that time. He's a Rasha. And this is completely contrary to secular belief. Secular belief is there's nothing wrong with evil thoughts as long as you don't act on them. And Torah says, if you willingly think a foreign evil thought, that is, you, it makes you called a Rasha. You're a wicked person. And a Beinoni is not even a Rasha for a second. So according to Torah, if a person willingly is aware of an evil thought and thinks it, he's a Rasha at that time. There's no punishment by court, but the blemish and the neshama is worse, like we mentioned last week. Remember we said thought is worse than speech. Oh, good morning. Yeah, throughout Tanya. What do you mean? What, somebody in this room thinks they're a Beinoni?
No, we're not a Beinoni, but to be a Russian is a...
If you're not a Beinoni, then what are you? A Tzaddik?
A regular person.
That's called a Russian English.
A Russian is an evil.
What we call a Tzaddik, I'm not talking about like the Rebbe, what we call a very righteous person is a Rosh HaVetavli. But Rosh HaVetavli is a lot of different levels. It's from the extreme of sinning once, right away doing Shiva Yerasha V'Tevlai, to sinning a million times a day, but every so often regretting it. That's also Rasha V'Tevlai.
Don't we say we don't call a Jew a Russia?
We're not supposed to call a Jew a Russia. Moshe Rabbeinu did, Chumash. He said to Dosan Avir, Me'yemir L'Rasha, Lama Sakariyacha. There is a concept. You don't call a person a Rasha because it says the Amech Kulam Tzadikim, but it doesn't mean the Tzadik of Tanya. There are many great Chassidim like Rabbi Hillel Paracher, who at the beginning, before they became Chassidim, they said they thought they were Tzadikim. And after they learned Tanya, they said, Halavaya Beinoni. We're lucky if we're only a Beinoni. But yeah, we are all Rishoyim. But when you look at somebody else, the Amich Kulam Tzadikim, a Jew is a Tzadik. Because when a Jew does more good than bad, generally speaking, they're a good person. But the reality of it, not only do we think, we talk, and we do.
A lot of good things too. How could
you call a guy that sins once every 20 years, and all the other 20 years, every second he does only great things, he's still a Rasha.
It's only according to
Tanya. The Tanya's explanation of what a Rosh is. It's not the language what we speak. The guy's a Rosh, a Tzaddik, But the Alter Rebbe says, in the true descriptive definition of what a Rosh is, that's what it is. Yeah.
When you say evil thoughts, does that mean, for example, anger? Is that what you consider an evil thought?
Anger is not necessarily a thought. Anger sometimes manifests itself into speech when you speak out of anger. We're speaking here, a person thinks about doing something they shouldn't be doing.
That they want to do something that they shouldn't.
And he says before, the Alter Rebbe said before, he gave an example, even if somebody doesn't actually think about committing adultery, but he thinks about the concept of adultery in a forbidden fashion, that is an evil thought.
But that's
what you mean by
people.
Yeah.
I keep thinking
maybe
you were thinking anger, and you know, sometimes people get upset, and you know.
Sometimes?
Yeah.
A lot of
times.
Yeah.
And then I always think, you know, actually since last week that I was in your class,
every time
that I would get upset, I said, you know, you really shouldn't be upset.
Uh-oh. See, that's a tzaddik, you see? That's a tzaddik.
Tzaddik and Rosh next to each other.
The evil thought is not authority, it's not godliness.
It's nothing.
The what?
He doesn't have godliness in it, it's already automatically evil, no?
No, but here he's speaking about a Mahara Baratzin, a thought that a Jew is not allowed to think. There's a much more refined concept of Machshava Zara, foreign thoughts. Foreign thoughts do not necessarily mean evil thoughts. There's evil thoughts, and then there's foreign thoughts. For instance, thoughts of Torah are very good, right? But not when you're praying. If somebody prays and they're thinking about something in Torah that they learned, that's called a foreign thought. Because it's good, but it's not the place for it now. We're not talking about those. That's not the evil thought, though. Evil thought is you think of sinning. You think of doing something that you shouldn't be doing. That's called a foreign thought. Now, because we have an evil inclination, it constantly feeds us to want to sin. That's its job. Its job Okay? As we learned before, the job of the evil inclination is to try to convince us to sin, but really, it doesn't want us to sin. But its job is to try to convince us to sin, that we should overcome it and not sin. Because the evil inclination is a creation of God, that God put within us. In order for good to be good, you need an opportunity to do bad. Correct? If you're programmed like angels only to do good, then good that you do is not really good. I mean, that's what you're programmed to do. So when you do it, it's nothing. The true definition of good is when you have a choice to do good or bad, and you choose good. Then good is valuable. Hashem wants us to do good. But in order for Hashem to want us to do good, He needs to give us the opportunity to do bad. That's why He created evil. Hashem did not create evil as an entity by itself, as an end by itself, to have you like the Christians think. According to Torah, God created evil as a means for good to be good. It's not an end by itself. There's no purpose in evil by itself. The purpose of evil is for a person to be able to do good. Now, the stronger the evil is, the better and more rewarding the good is. Correct? The greater the challenge, the greater the victory is. So Hashem created the evil inclination as a means, and therefore the Gemara says, the Satan, the Yetzirah, Penina, what L'shem Shemayim Niskavnu, all intend for the sake of God. There's this woman, Penina, and she had her husband had a second wife, Chana, and she used to make fun of Chana, that she didn't have children, and the Gemara says, Penina was a holy lady. Why did she make fun of her sister, of her other, her husband's other wife? That she should reach a higher level of doing of crying to Hashem, that Hashem should give her children. And the same thing the Gemara says, the Yetzirah, its purpose is for the sake of God. What do you mean the evil inclination's purpose is to serve God, and for us to serve God? It wants us to do good. That's what its real intention is, for us to do good. In order for us to do good, it has to convince us to do bad, but really not wanting us to give in to it. Okay? So the fact that we have an evil inclination, it constantly feeds evil into the mind, into the mouth, into actions. It constantly is feeding. The Beinoni has those thoughts. The Tzaddik, who has no evil inclination, doesn't have those thoughts. He doesn't have those thoughts. He doesn't have that speech, he doesn't have that action, because he has no evil inclination. The Beinoni has the evil inclination, so it's constantly feeding these types of things. The Beinoni has the control, and every person could be a Beinoni, not to give into it. And therefore it's a constant struggle until the Beinoni dies.
Is this the first time the person hears this thought, or is this like the 20th time?
Whenever it is. Whenever he gets it, he gets rid of it. Whenever he hears it, he's aware of it that it comes in, he immediately gets rid of it. And that's the control that the Beinoni has. Okay, so he says like this, V'chein b'dvarim shebein odom l'chaveire. These are all things between man and God. The same thing, things which are bein odom l'chaveire, things between man and man. Yeah, somebody gets you angry, nervous, upset, whatever. Miyad sha'el me'alev l'mayach. The second, it enters from the heart to the mind. Animosity or hatred, God forbid, or as a kin or jealousy or anger or kapeda or grudge. In other words, the HR also feeds you, anger against somebody, grudges against somebody, hatred against somebody. The Beinoni doesn't accept it at all. What happens? The Adrab, on the contrary, not only the Beinoni doesn't accept it, he transforms the hatred and the jealousy into good deeds. He says, what does he do? He doesn't receive it at all willingly in his mind. But Adrab, on the contrary, the mind controls the heart. Las is a hepech mamish, to do the opposite of what's entering your mind. Like he says, lithnaig im chavere, like you said, instead of hating the person, being upset, you do something pleasant to the person. He says, to do with your friend, b'midas chesed, with the attribute of kindness, v'chibe yaseira meidasle, and you show him an extra love, lizbol mimenu, to tolerate ad kseho achron, to the ultimate degree. V'le liches chase shalim, not to get angry at the person, v'gam shalei l'shalim le'kepali chase shalim, and not to give them what they deserve. You don't even do that. What do you do? Adarab, on the contrary, it says, what does the Beinoni do? Ligma l'chayovim teves, to give the people that don't deserve it, to pay him back, as we say in America, kill him with love. Like it says in the Zayar, Lilmid miYosef imechov, to learn from Yosef and his brothers. The brothers wanted to kill him. They sold him as a slave. They threw him into a pit. They did everything terrible. What did Yosef react to them? He supported them, gave them food, and gave them everything, and gave them everything they needed. So not only didn't he hold grudges against them, on the contrary, he took the grudge and transformed it into acting kindness. So he's explaining that a Beinoni, as soon as an evil thought comes to the mind, gets rid of it. As soon as something negative comes into the mind of the Beinoni, whether it's hatred, animosity, jealousy, anger, whatever, he transforms it. Not that he doesn't have the hatred, but the second he's aware that it's hatred, he gets rid of it. And not only does he get rid of it, he does pays back hatred with kindness. And that's the Beinoni. Okay, Perek Yud Gimel. Ubezei Yuvan, based on everything we explained until now, we'll understand Lo Shemai Merazah, what the Gemara says, that he quoted on the first page of Tanya, Beinonim Zevezer Sheftam. The Gemara says like this, a tzaddik is judged by the good side, Yetzotev. The Rasha is judged by the bad side. The Beinoni is judged by both. So the question is, if the Beinoni doesn't sin, what do you mean he's judged by both? By the good and the bad. He doesn't sin. He says, based on what we learned, we can understand what the Gemara means. It says like this. Who is Zabizer Sheftam? Pirish Yetzotev Yetzahara. The good side and the bad side both judge the Beinoni. The Chsiv and the Pasuk says, Ki yamid l'minevian, the God stands on the right side of the poor person, l'hishia m'shefti nafshei, to save him from the judges of his soul. So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, judges, meaning there's two judges. But he says, v'lei amru zev ezem eshtem chas hashom. The Talmud does not say, both rule him. They say, both judge him. What's the difference? Because anytime there's any control from the Yetzirah in the city, even for a split second, it's called a Rasha. So he's not a Beinoni anymore. So the Gemara doesn't say the good and the bad control him. Because if the evil controls the Beinoni, he's not a Beinoni anymore, he's wicked. What does the Gemara say? Like a judge, who says his opinion. So you have a court, let's say you have three people, right? Each judge says their opinion. That doesn't mean the ruling will be like that judge. Because if one judge says guilty, one judge says innocent, you go by their third opinion, who neutralizes the two. And he says, the Alpha became, it's possible that the ruling will not be like that judge. Why? Because there's another judge that argues on the first judge. Therefore, what's the halacha? Like the third judge. Why in halacha, a bezdin can never be an equal number of people? In the secular system, you have a jury of 12. Right? So when you have 6 and 6, you have a hung jury. In Torah law, a court can never be an even number. That there shouldn't be even. The minimal court is 3, right? So, why? Because once it's guilty, once it's innocent, once it's you have to pay, once it's you don't have to pay, you go by the third judge. The same thing the Gemara says, the body of the Beinoni has 2 judges. The Yetzer Tov says, no sin. The Yetzer Hara says, sin.
Why did it call it judge? It's not a judgment.
He says his opinion. A judge says his opinion. It's not a judgment. Shevet is a judge. A judge says his opinion. The Yetzer Hara is a judge, says sin. The godly soul says, don't sin. Who's the third party? Hashem, like the Pasuk says, Ki yamed li min evyin, Hashem stands on the right side of the poor person to save him from the judges of the soul. So God is the third opinion, meaning when Hashem sees that you're putting up a big fight between the two candidates, Hashem helps the poor one, which is the godly soul, to overcome the animal soul. And therefore the Gemara says, when the Yetzer Hara, like we learned in the past, is really stronger than the godly soul. The animal soul is an animal. The godly soul is like a person. When there's a battle between an ox and a person, the ox wins. Or a lion and a person, a bear and a person. So the same thing, the Yetzer Hara is an animal, the Yetzer Tov is a person. So Hashem comes and helps the Yetzer Tov to overcome the strength of the Nefesh HaBamis of the animal soul. But then, what?
Why, because he's making an effort?
Because he's making an effort. Yep. Meaning, Hashem gives the advantage of light over dark.
But the better not by the Rasha.
No, because the better Rasha doesn't fight. The Rasha doesn't fight. So why should God help him if you don't fight? As the expression goes, God helps those who help themselves. When Hashem sees a person is fighting the battle, Hashem will help the person succeed. And Hashem helps the Beinoni in his battle. But that's only when the Beinoni is fighting. If the Beinoni doesn't fight, which means he's a Rasha, so why should Hashem help him? And Yitaka doesn't help him. So he says, the Kacha Yetzer Hara emidaita b'chol asmali, the Yetzer Hara says its opinion on the left side, to sin. Umealev eila l'meichu l'hara, and immediately comes up to the mind to think about sinning. Umeyav chelok olav ha-shefet ha-sheni, and immediately the second judge argues, shua nefesh shua l'kis, which is a godly soul which is in the mind, ha-mispashi b'chol ha-amani shebelev, which goes to the heart, which is Malkin Mishkin Yetzer Tov. So there's two judges fighting over the body. So who's the halacha like? Who's the law like? Halacha kedivrei ha-machriya. Halacha is like the compromiser, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu ha-ezer la-Yetzer Tov. Hashem who helps the Yetzer Tov to overcome the evil of the Nefesh HaBamis. Because Hashem is a very nice God, I guess you can say, can't say person or being, but Hashem knows that it's not a fair fight. Hashem knows it's not a fair fight. As we learned, the Berditchever said, Rav Yitzchak Berditchever always stuck up for the Jews, he said to God once, he used to fight with God a lot, he said, God, you're not fair. He said, all the temptations you put in front of our eyes, and paradise you put in the books. What do we know about Gan Eden in the books? He said, what do you want? He said, if you put Gan Eden in front of our eyes and the temptations in the books, we would be much better. So Hashem knows that the animal is stronger than a person. Hashem knows temptations are much stronger. In other words, it's easier to be bad than good. So Hashem, when he sees it, you fight, he helps you. And what he says, the commandment of Zalik the Gemara says, and the pasuk that the Rasha wants to kill the tzaddik, and then the Gemara says, "El Mali Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ezrei." If Hashem would not help the godly soul, lo yuchala, you wouldn't be able to overcome the evil, because evil is stronger than good. What is the help? How does Hashem help the good? Is an additional light that Hashem shines on the godly soul, that it should have an advantage and control over the foolishness of the evil spirit, like the advantage of light from dark. Meaning, whenever there's a battle between light and dark, light always wins. So what does Hashem do? Hashem gives an additional power to the godly soul to give him an additional light to get rid of the evil. But the Rebbe says, that's why the Gemara says, the Gemara cannot say that the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara control the Beinoni. Because if the Yetzer Hara controls the Beinoni for a second, he's not a Beinoni. So what happens? They're judging the person. Meaning, one judge says sin, one judge says don't sin. So who do you listen to? Comes Hashem, the third party, and helps the Nefesh HaLekiv, the godly soul, that it should sin. By giving additional power of light and revelation to overcome the evil.
But what, clarity or understanding? Is that good for you to sin? What is it?
No, Hashem.
What is that light? What is that?
It's more godliness, in a way. You know, we know a very interesting thing. When a person tries to win, they'll win. Because he didn't try hard enough. No, the Alter Rebbe later on in Tanya says a remarkable concept. If two people are fighting, but physically they're fighting, and one is stronger, but the other one has more spirit, the weaker one with spirit many times will overcome the stronger one who's down and out. And that's why he says simcha, happiness and joy, is so important in fighting the battle of evil, because when you have spirit, you can overcome the evil inclination, even though the evil inclination might be stronger. And the pushes that Hashem gives an additional strength to the a godly strength to the person, that he can win the battle, that he cannot sin. And we learned in the past, there's a remarkable concept that Chassidus says, if a person says, you know, a person wants to sin, let's say, they want to say something they shouldn't, they want to do something they shouldn't, they want to think something they shouldn't, and they tell themselves, you know what, they talk to the Yetzer Hara and they say, you know what, do me a favor, in 10 minutes I'll sin, bug off now, I promise you in 10 minutes I'll sin. So it says two things. Number one, that push, many times you won't even end up sinning. You know, sometimes you're dying to say something juicy, and you just don't for 5 minutes, and all of a sudden you don't have the desire anymore. Why? Because you actually fought and won. But it says in Chassidus even more. What happens if after 10 minutes, you really do sin anyway? You know, you tell the Yetzer Hara, you know what? Okay, bug off, I'm going to give it to you, but you just give me 10 minutes. Not to sin. It says, even if you sin after 10 minutes, it's a tremendous pleasure God has from it, that for 10 minutes you held yourself back from sinning. Even though you eventually gave in and sinned, many times you won't even end up sinning. But even if you do sin, it says you can't imagine the pleasure that Hashem got from the fact that you held yourself back.